There's been a growing problem in recent years with so-called dead zones in areas around the Great Lakes, including the waters of Green Bay. The dead zones are triggered by algae blooms caused by the runoff of phosphorus and other nutrients.
Farms and livestock operations are a major source of these nutrients, which end up in the Fox River and other waterways, and ultimately in Green Bay itself. A Wisconsin congressional representative is joining other Midwestern lawmakers in legislation aimed at controlling farm runoff.
Reed Ribble represents Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, which includes Green Bay, Appleton, and the surrounding area. He held a Save the Bay summit earlier this year. Representative Ribble, welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be with you. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the scope of the problem you're tackling here. What are we worried about in the waters of Green Bay?
Well, you know, over the last several years, there's been a growing dead zone inside the Bay of Green Bay. And this actually extends through the Fox River and down into Lake Winnebago. So it covers the Lake Winnebago and Fox River watershed as well as Green Bay. And we're getting enough algae growing in the bay that it literally kills virtually everything growing there. And when you've got such a strong tourist industry like we do in Door County, it's really important that we deal with this.
And is there general agreement that a lot of the pollutants, the things causing these algae blooms, are coming from agricultural sources?
Well, about 50%, here's where the agreement is, about 50% comes from agriculture, 50% comes from what we call point source, or coming from urban areas. And so those urban areas typically are, the water's treated to a wastewater treatment facility and then put back into the river and ultimately into the bay. And non-point sources are coming from agriculture around the area. And Wisconsin, as you're aware, has a very large agricultural footprint. We grow a lot of things here, and we produce a lot of dairy and milk here. And so about half of the problem is coming from agriculture.
Well, what are you proposing in this new legislation, the Great Lakes Assurance Program Verification Act?
Yeah, well, basically what this bill does is it takes existing funds out of the USDA's Environmental Quality Incentives Program. It's called EQIP. It takes about $30 million of money from there and redirects it in the form of grants to state agencies to provide both technical and financial assistance to work on this issue. Because really, a lot of this, we know what has to happen, and it requires some education and training for farmers on best practices. And what this will help us do is get to that place.
What kind of education and training could a farmer who participates get out of this program?
Well, in this case, they might get training on better ways of managing how they spread manure, what times of year they spread manure, where they spread manure, how they till fields, how much loose soil are they working up in the top of the soil that might become loose and have embedded phosphorus or attached phosphorus to it. There's a lot of practices with creating buffer zones along ditches and drainage areas and things like that that we can begin to facilitate and help farmers with, so that hopefully voluntarily we begin to get more and more farmers aware of the problem and then dealing with it on their farm, no matter what the size.
I understand this is based in part on an example from our neighbors in Michigan. Is that right?
That's correct. In fact, the main author of the bill is Candace Miller from Michigan. She's one of my colleagues in Congress, and they have a similar program that they've been working in Michigan called the Michigan Agricultural Environmental Assurance Program. And it's been relatively successful over in Michigan along Michigan's waterways. And so she's applied what they've learned over there into this piece of legislation, and it looks like it'd be helpful for us here in Wisconsin.
You mentioned this is voluntary for farmers. Are you hopeful that enough farmers would participate to actually make a difference, put a dent in this problem?
Well, I think that this problem is so large, it's going to take more than just this program. This program is just one piece of a fairly large puzzle. I've been having ongoing meetings literally all summer with both conservationists and the dairy industry, with crop farmers, with the wastewater treatment people, conservationists and whatnot, trying to get my own mind around what the issue is. And then we're going to continue to do this during the month of August while I'm on recess to hopefully begin to create a model document or best practices that we can start to promote and help farmers begin to recognize what role they could play in improving our water quality.
We're talking to Wisconsin Congressional Representative Reed Ribble about his legislation and efforts to clean up pollution that's causing problems in the in Green Bay and the related watersheds. And you mentioned, Congressman Ribble, these summits you've been having with people involved, farmers, conservationists, and others. What other kind of solutions are people suggesting apart from what you're doing in this legislation?
Yeah, depending on the size of farm, the solutions are kind of all over the map. So if you're a smaller farmer and you have the ability to do managed grazing, having your animals out rather than collecting manure and spreading it, just having it natural. So for some of those smaller farms, you do with managed grazing practices. The types of grasses that they're growing in buffer zones can have a different effect, because the root structure on some types of grasses can grow very, very deep, up to 15, 16 feet deep where the soil will allow it, versus grasses that might only have a root structure that goes 4 or 5 inches deep. And we're getting all of these types of things, how to pull water out of manure, where should you be using digesting, and how can that help to take manure and actually separate its components. And so there's been a lot of information that has come in not only to my office, but to the conservationists, as well as experts at University of Wisconsin in Madison and in Green Bay. It's been really helpful.
Do you see other legislation down the road in addition to what you're talking about now?
It's possible, as long as I know that it'll work. And one of the things that I've been cautious about is just, A, willy-nilly throwing money at a problem, but B, also willy-nilly throwing a regulation at a problem. Because a one-size-fits-all regulatory environment won't necessarily solve the problem. And let me give an example. The problem that they're having in Kewaunee County up here is in part due to the fact that there's a small amount of surface soil or topsoil over a rock bed. That's not the case in, let's say, Waupaca or Shawnee County, where the soil type is different. There's no rock underneath the soil. The slope and terrain of the counties are different. And that goes to how fast water runs off the surface. And so trying to come up with a single one-size-fits-all regulatory regime may not be the best solution. I think ultimately the best solution is going to be education and awareness, and then helping our county executives have adequate conservationists in to facilitate that education process.
On a related note, there's been controversy over larger livestock operations, sometimes called CAFOs, and they're linked to pollution, especially in Kewaunee County. And there have been critics there and elsewhere saying, hey, we need limits, we need regulations on the number and concentration of livestock on these kind of operations. Could that be part of the solution in a particular place like Kewaunee County in general?
Yeah, I think if you look at a particular area of the state, and you can do some metrics on how many animals based on the soil type, slope, and density of population around there, the county may ultimately decide that they're going to put a regulatory environment in on the county. And it's best done at that county level, because, like I said, Kewaunee County is so different than a county right next to it like Brown or Calumet or even Manitowoc. They're very, very different in soil type and slope. And so having it done more locally, I think, is going to be ultimately the most effective way. However, I wouldn't necessarily just automatically say the CAFO system is not the right system, because they're highly regulated. Those farms are the most regulated farms in the country, and they have very extensive rules and requirements surrounded and around manure management and soil management. And so what we need to do is make sure that each of those farms are following those rules and actually executing the program.
I think I saw a quote from someone at one of the summits you held that, in effect, this is a problem that's been decades in the making. Do you feel confident with this and other efforts that it could be turned around?
I am confident that it can be turned around, in part because it has been decades in the making. There's a lot of information about it. And the interesting thing is, I've lived in northeast Wisconsin my entire life, and I'm 59 years old, and I remember the algae blooms in Lake Winnebago when I was a child. And so this is 4 or 5 decades old, but our processes have changed over the course of time. And so there are things that we've learned over this time, and I just think overall there's a broader awareness of our environment and the importance of protecting our environment. And I believe that Wisconsin's farmers across the board want to be part of the solution. They don't want to be part of the problem, and they're actually anxious to find out more, learn more, and execute better.
Finally, do you have a timeline on this legislation that would help train farmers and help them do some of these conservation practices?
Yeah, I would like to see this pass into law before the end of the year. And the reason I say that is not just because it's an important piece of legislation for the Great Lakes, but because we're entering into this what I call the political silly season of presidential politics. And so just from my own personal experience in the Congress, things really start to slow down during presidential election years. And so I really want to try to get this done in this calendar year yet.
Congressman Ribble, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
That was Wisconsin Representative Reed Ribble talking about his legislation aimed at preventing dead zones in the waters of Green Bay and other parts of the Great Lakes.